Hey there, and welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today Sophie and I are talking about a book that really made me think, Fox by Martin Wallen. Sophie, what did you make of this one?
Hey there, Sam. I'm glad you picked this. It's not your typical nature book. Wallen goes deep into philosophy, asking what it means for an animal to be wild, and honestly, the fox is the perfect guide.
Right, because at first I thought it'd be about clever foxes outsmarting hunters, you know, the trickster stuff. But it's way more unsettling than that.
Exactly.
Wallen's central idea is that the fox represents a form of life that refuses to be captured, not just physically, but conceptually. We've tried to understand animals by categorizing them, domesticating them, telling stories about them. But the fox slips through all of that.
It lives on the edges, right? Between the forest and the farm, between city and countryside. It's a creature of thresholds.
And that's what makes it so fascinating and so troubling. We can't pin it down.
So the book starts with how foxes appear in culture. In European folklore, they're always the trickster, like Reynard the Fox from the Middle Ages.
Yeah, we admire the fox for its cleverness, even while we condemn its dishonesty. Wallen says these stories tell us more about ourselves than about real foxes.
We project our own anxieties onto the animal. The fox becomes a mirror for our own complicated relationship with rules and authority.
But the real fox, the actual animal living in the hedgerows, isn't a symbol. It has its own way of being, and that difference is what Wallen wants us to confront.
One idea that really hit me was about wildness. We tend to think of it as something out there in untouched forests, but Wallen says wildness isn't a place. It's a relationship.
Yes.
The fox is wild not because it lives far from us, but because it refuses to be fully incorporated into our systems of meaning and control. It lives among us, but not with us.
It takes what it needs without asking permission. That's deeply unsettling because it challenges the idea that we're the masters of the natural world.
And Wallen gets into the physical reality of the fox too, its senses and behaviors. Its eyes are adapted for low light. Its ears can hear a mouse rustling in the grass. Its nose picks up scents we can't imagine.
So it lives in a world of smells and sounds that are completely foreign to us. That's not just different equipment. It's a different kind of consciousness.
Right.
The fox doesn't think about the future or its own mortality like we do. It's completely present in each moment, responding with an immediacy we've lost.
And Wallen brings in Heidegger and Merleau-Ponty to talk about that. Heidegger said animals are poor in world, caught up in their environment, not reflecting on their existence.
But Wallen pushes back. The fox has its own wisdom, even if it's not conceptual. It knows where to find food, how to avoid danger, when to mate. That knowledge is written into its bones and nerves.
So it's embodied knowledge, not intellectual knowledge. And that makes me wonder, are we really so superior?
Well, Wallen isn't romanticizing the fox either. It kills to eat. It defends its territory. There's no morality in its actions, no higher purpose. And yet, there's something about its way of being that challenges us.
It doesn't strive for anything beyond its immediate needs. It doesn't accumulate possessions or worry about its reputation. It's completely at home in its own skin.
Which is both admirable and terrifying, isn't it?
Totally. There was this one part about encountering a fox in the wild. When you see it across a field, and your eyes meet for just a second before it disappears. Something happens.
You're no longer just a human looking at an animal. You're two living creatures, briefly sharing the same space. And you can't know what the fox sees in you.
It might see a threat, or a curiosity, or nothing at all. That encounter is a reminder of the mystery of other minds. We can never fully understand what it's like to be a fox.
And Wallen isn't trying to explain that mystery away. He wants to let the fox be what it is, to acknowledge its otherness without domesticating it intellectually.
But our natural impulse is to make sense of things, to fit them into categories. So we tell stories about foxes, we make images, but every story is a kind of cage.
The real fox is always somewhere else, beyond our grasp, and that's why we keep trying to capture it.
The book also gets into fox hunting, which I found surprising. It wasn't just about killing. It was a ritual, a display of power and status.
And the fox had to be a worthy challenge. If it were easy to catch, the hunt would be meaningless. So the hunters needed the fox to be wild, to resist. In a strange way, the hunt celebrated the very wildness it sought to destroy.
That's such a twisted paradox. And then Wallen brings in Derrida, talking about how we define the human against the animal.
We see ourselves as rational and moral, and animals as instinctual and amoral. But the more we learn, the blurrier those lines get. The fox, with its intelligence and adaptability, challenges our assumptions.
So what's the takeaway for living in a world where we've pushed into every habitat? The fox has adapted to suburbs, raiding garbage cans, making dens under sheds.
It survives, but at a cost. Its wildness is diminished. Its world is shrunk. It becomes half wild, neither fully domestic nor fully free.
And that's the condition of all wildness now. There's no untouched wilderness left. Every ecosystem bears our mark.
The fox is a survivor, but also a reminder of what we've lost. And Wallen says we need to protect wildness, not just for the fox, but for ourselves. Because losing it means losing something essential about us.
The last part about being a predator really stuck with me. We kill to eat, just like the fox, but we do it at a distance. We don't look into the eyes of the animals we eat.
The fox's killing is intimate and direct. It's a relationship of life and death that we've escaped. Wallen suggests that might be a loss. We've become consumers instead of participants.
So this book isn't offering easy answers. It's asking us to question our assumptions about what it means to be human.
And it leaves us with wonder and unease. The fox is beautiful and terrifying, familiar and strange. It reminds us that the world is larger and more mysterious than our stories about it.
For me, the thing I'm taking away is that wildness isn't a place we can visit. It's a quality of being that we need to respect, even if we can't fully understand it.
That's beautifully said. And if you want to explore more books like this, the whole library is on 7minutebooks.com/app. Over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language, starting at just $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 for lifetime access. In the end, The Fox teaches us that some things are meant to remain wild, just out of reach. And that's exactly as it should be. We'll see you in the next one.